That's a good job.
That's a great job. Yeah. That's a great job. It's almost as good as a job as driving cars around the track really quickly. Now, Tom Randall does that. He's one of our favourites here in the Breakfast Club. He's we're getting him on the way up, so when he becomes an F1 champion, he keeps talking to us. He was the Super 2 champion last year, battled testicular cancer, and is doing a great job getting through that. And he joins us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, buddy. You're welcome here anytime. And there's even more reason to be talking to you at the moment. Not only do we just go back and just tell everyone how awesome you were with the Super 2 Championship last year, of course. But on the weekend, you're in the S500 Open Wheel Series, finishing second. But it was all to a goal to get your eye in for this weekend. Tell us what's happening for the next couple of weeks in your career.
Well, firstly, I better say that the F1 dream is probably over. So I reckon we could keep doing these interviews. So I'm not getting F1 anytime soon.
But, look, I don't know about that.
The supercars dream is definitely still alive. So speaking of supercars, I'm actually on my way to the airport now. I've got my first wildcard this year in the Supercars Championship. So I'll be joining the grid as one of the primary drivers this weekend. So I'm super excited. I'm with Tickford Racing in a Castrol-backed Ford Mustang. So yeah, one of three that we're doing. So this weekend's at Tailem Bend in South Australia, and then we're doing Darwin in a couple of weeks, and then we'll go to Perth to finish off in September, right before we head to the Bathurst 1000. So it's an amazing opportunity for me, and I just can't wait to get stuck into it.
So it's sort of like in the NBA, it's like a 10-day contract. You get out there and show them what you can do for a little while and see what happens on the back of that. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of like, I guess, getting drafted in from the VFL for a few matches, and I guess they're always judging your performance any time you kick a footy or any time you turn the steering wheel on the track. So, yeah, I'm just going to be trying to do my best. And, I mean, we've prepared as well as we can. It's like anything, isn't it? You know, the winning's sort of done back at the factory. But, look, it is very tough competition. It's one of the toughest and most competitive tin top championships in the world. And the Americans and the Europeans put us in a high regard for that. However, I just want to do the best job I can and see what we can do at the end of the weekend.
So, Tom, you use the VFL as a comparison. Do you need to go out there now over these coming weeks and be best on ground to prove your worth? Or is it just solid performances to show that you're capable of driving in the touring cars, but also quick enough to drive in the touring cars?
I guess there's two mindsets to look at. I mean, I'm entering sort of halfway through the year, and I don't want to do anything silly, but you always get judged, no matter if you like it or not. You're always getting judged when you're out on the track, and because I'm aligned with Tickford, they can see all my data, and they can compare what I'm doing with the other drivers. But in saying that, it actually works really well for me, because I can also see what my teammates are doing, and it allowed me to find ways that I can improve my driving and how I go quick on the track. So I think overall, they'll definitely be looking at what I'm doing, because if they want to, if I get the opportunity to step up next year, then I need to show what I can do now. And so I don't make a goose of myself next year, but I'll be giving it my absolute all focus, and that's all I can do. And I've got a great bunch of guys on my car. My engineer is fantastic. And I think if we can just nail everything and extract the maximum out of me in the car, then there's no reason why we can't get some solid results.
So, Tom, we've spoken to you a number of times over the last couple of years, and you've had this incredible story, and a lot of it's been based around your cancer treatment. Are you back to full health?
Pretty much now, yeah, I am, yeah. So I'm back to where I was, I would like to think, before the diagnosis, so, which is great for me, and it just allows me to move on. I mean, I still have to do the scheduled checkups, but that's not too difficult. But apart from that, I can just concentrate on my gym work, my cycling, swimming, all that sort of stuff, and having the racing there allows me to concentrate. I mean, we obviously need to be fit to drive, but it's given me that motivation to get back in the gym or get back running or cycling. And I certainly feel a lot better now than I did 4 months ago.
Yeah, and because that was what I was going to ask you. I mean, it's one thing, the illness that knocks you around, but it's the treatment that really knocks you around from a chemotherapy perspective. Is there anything that you can't do now that you could do before you were sick, or you're able to do all those sorts of things, and just getting that strength back into you and all those sorts of things? How much of a challenge has that been?
Well, it's funny you say that, because when you get diagnosed and they say that you've got cancer, you don't actually feel well. I didn't actually feel ill. I wouldn't have actually known that I had cancer, but obviously the blood tests and the scans show differently. But the chemo sort of hit me like a ton of bricks, and I couldn't even throw my dog a toy. Like, I was just so weak. And then it's just about, well, you really learn about your body in that period and what it needs and what it doesn't need. I mean, obviously, it doesn't want to have to go through the chemo. However, it's just about trying to recover, and it's not about trying to get back to full strength straight away. You've got to be patient with your body. But to answer your question, I can pretty much do anything that I could do before the treatment, which is great, and it just means I can... I'm one of the lucky ones. I can live my life sort of back to normal or to a new normal, but there's a lot of people that unfortunately can't, and
absolutely, Tom. And look, obviously, Rami, you went through a similar thing. And just that, I mean, is it more the physical sort of bringing you back to normality, or is it the mental toll? And I mean, how did you do it? And any advice you've got maybe for Tom as well?
Well, the physical toll, I think, heals pretty quickly. I think you can get yourself back, but it's probably more the mental toll. And from my perspective, it's the doubts that you have of, can you still do it at the top level? And that's what I wanted to ask you. Tom, has your perspective changed now on what you can do or what you want to do?
Well, yeah, that's a really good point, Adam. I mean, when I first went public, I sort of weighed up the pros and cons and thought, well, I don't want to be looked at differently for having this, but I also want to spread awareness to young guys, because, I mean, if I can get it, someone who's an athlete and as a race car driver, we all think we're pretty damn invincible, and it just shows we're not. But I actually, my first race meeting back that I didn't even think I'd be attending, I actually ended up winning the race, and it sort of just straight away shut up the critics and said, well, hey, I can still do the job. And look, we had a really good practice day in the car that I'm racing this weekend a couple of weeks ago, and the team they haven't indicated anything, but I don't think they have any doubts, and I don't have any doubts myself either. So I think, as you well know, Adam, that you don't lose that mental drive, and it sort of reminds you of where you want to be in life.
The part that I had a real issue with early was being seen as a cancer survivor, but wanting to be seen as a footballer again. Where are you with that right now? So you've got a responsibility, as you said, to raise awareness and help others, but you've also so young still in your career that you've got aspirations to be the best driver you can. Where do you balance that?
Well, to be honest, I think all the people in my corner, my family, my supporters, and my team, they all look at me as Thomas Randall, and I'm a guy that races cars, not a cancer survivor, which is how it should be and how I want it to be. And I think as long as the people that you've got surrounding you fill you with support and look at you as who you are, I think that's the most important thing. And to be honest, there's a lot more to me than just a racing driver, but I still want to be able to help raise awareness. And there's, like I said, there's so many people that aren't as lucky as I am. And we actually had a ride day at Sandown about a month ago where I was able to take 20 young adults from Peter Mac, the cancer centre, not too far from where you guys are based.
Across the road.
Across the road, yeah. They've got an amazing cafe there, as I'm sure you're well aware.
My word.
Now, Tom, just on that.
Just on that.
Just that on that. $9 for a juice. Would you go down that path?
Hey, look, I'm pretty sure I got discounts, all right? Flyer, I got discounts, so, I don't think I've ever paid $9 for a coffee there. Or for a juice, I should say. So that's the benefit. That's a real
So that you say you're on your way to tail and bend, one of three cracks at this wildcard sort of situation you've got with Tickford Racing, which is just magnificent. I'll tell you what, you make them stand up and notice if you get on the podium. What are you expecting? What do you hope for this week? Obviously, you haven't been in the car at all, I imagine, through this period before you get to there and start doing qualifying. What do you hope for, Tom?
Well, look, I think a podium would be, well, I don't want to sound negative or, you know, I think as a realist, I think a podium would be, it would be a stretch unless a few of the top guys maybe fell off the road. It might have to rain, but look, I just want to, I mean, ultimate goal would be to crack inside the top 10, but I'm not underestimating the competition. It really is super competitive, and I mean, that it is top tier of Australian motorsport, and like I said, the people overseas, they view it as one of the most competitive championships in the world. So I've got really good support with my teammates, and they're going to be going as quick as they can. They were quick there last year. Cam Waters got a win in 2020 there. So, yeah, there's no doubt that they've got a strong car, and I just need to maximise that and do the best job I can, and we'll see where we're at the end of qualifying on tomorrow afternoon.
All right, let's cut to the chase. Have you got a fast car? That's what you got to have a fast car.
Oh, as in my road car? Well,
No. What you're going to be driving on the weekend? Don't worry about your road car. There's speed limits.
The Castrol Tickford, Tom.
Yeah, definitely. Of course we do.
Castrol Tickford Mustang.
The last time I drove it actually was the Sandown 500 as a co-driver, and I got on the podium. So it's a proven podium getter car. So I need to get it back up there, I reckon.
Well, it'd be rude not to. I'll tell you what you have. You've got an army of supporters listening this morning that will be cheering you on for the next couple of weeks, but certainly this week into Tail and Bend, Tom. We wish you the best of luck, mate. There's some great names that are on our program. Scotty McLaughlin's the supercar champ. Oscar Piastri's our man. He's the F2 champ. Now you, mate. So you're part of the team. We're expecting big things. Good luck. Go get them.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, and have a great day.